All right, if you would, pull out an outline. It's not actually in your bulletin. It's separate. It was printed at midnight last night. Not quite, but anyway. It's a little messy, but hopefully it's legible. It's an 8.5 by 11, regular size, it's two pieces of paper, front and back. So everybody got one? If you don't have one, we got some down here. Everybody got one? Way easier to follow. My madness, if you got the scripture in front of you, because that's my main job, in my opinion, is to draw attention to scripture. So we're going to look at quite a bit of scripture after an introduction why we're attempting to get involved in the madness we're attempting to get involved in, which is full of landmines. You can't say anything today unless you've read the latest blogs on what is now okay to say and what isn't okay to say. I'm involved in the Down syndrome community. That was incorrect. You don't know to be offended, but you're supposed to be offended when I say that. In the community that has children with Down syndrome, and you're supposed to know, because they made the rule, that if you say a Down syndrome child, that's very offensive. Who would figure that out? But that's been figured out by a select group, and you're supposed to know that, and if I hear you say that, I'm supposed to be offended that you didn't know. Welcome to America today. I think you can say black lives, but I'm not sure if you can say black. I'm going to say everything. So I'm going to hear about it, but look, it's in the press. There's two dominant stories in the press. Oh, by the way, welcome to hurricane season. I'll be the third one, but it's not there yet. Two dominant stories in the press. One is the COVID-19, kind of taking second seat right now. Used to be that. Well, actually, I got to be really, really careful today because I want to be very respectful and model respect. Let me just say this: it's in the news and it's dominant. And if you listen to the news at all, you're hearing a lot about it. So I'm giving you four reasons why we're interrupting our study in Philippians on how to have joy in the COVID-19 season, which interrupted our series in the book of Acts about how to live life as believers in every day. And so we're interrupting those two things with this thing on, what did we entitle this thing? A guide for ministry during medical, social, and spiritual pandemics. Everybody good with that? Simple title, all right? Reasons we're breaking off to do this is wasn't planning to. Matter of fact, the people listening online, are hearing a different message today. It was recorded way earlier in the week, and it's just kind of the way that it goes. But God was convicting my heart about four things, and so this was put together yesterday, and here it is. Here's the four reasons. One is the incitement, as your pastors, we get concerned about incitement towards sin, or enticement, I guess I should say, towards sin, any kind of sin. We're very concerned about that, knowing that we're all human, that we all have a fallen nature, that none of us are, great biblical scholars, and we can get stuff messed up. So there is an enticement toward hate. As you all know, we had a I'm just going to say it's a murder that took place. I mean, I can't imagine any other, more than 8 minutes of a, guy kneeling on a guy's neck with numerous people telling him you're killing the guy, and it just goes on. I mean, 8 minutes is a long, long time. Okay, so I don't want to be political, but I'm just going to say that I think every human being in America, outside of some extreme racist, was just, saw this as just horrific. And if you didn't get angry along with all the other emotions, I really encourage you to check your heart. There's a place for anger over these things. Now, it's got to be channeled in a right way. And therein lies the problem. At one point, after seeing that, all of America, I'm going to say 99.9% of America, is completely unified in just despising this gruesome murder. which I don't know why isn't murder one. For the life of me, I mean, that's, you know, 8 minutes of people pleading with you to get off the guy. I don't know. But anyway, I'm being real political now, and I apologize for that. But come on, you know, more than eight. Anyway, so we all were in agreement, and then we got the, you know, the stuff, and it's kind of like some folks are going, there's a whole spectrum of people, obviously, on the streets and blogging and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, I get that. There's a whole spectrum. I'm not going to pigeonhole everybody into one thing. That would be ridiculous. At the same time, some are saying we are going to act as ugly as we possibly can act and hateful as we possibly can act, and we command you to love us and support us. And it's tough. And I think, you know, America's going to grow in spite of that kind of riotous, just weird thinking. And the news commentators and the politicians and the activists, and, you know, you got guys you like and gals you like and guys you don't like and gals you don't like. And it just, you listen to it very long, and there's an enticement to hate. Is that okay to say that? I'm enticed to hate. You know, when everything could be unified, we're enticed to hate. So that's a problem, and I want to address that today, because I don't want us to do that. Obviously, we're called to be people of love. Number two, it's an opportunity for ministry to speak to your children, to your grandchildren, and hurting and confused and fearful friends and neighbors and whoever else. We want to be able to engage folks in a way where we can dialogue in a way that goes somewhere meaningful, hopefully toward the gospel and a gospel witness. Number three, it's an opportunity for growth, because all of us have a fallen nature. None of us have perfect theology. None of us are perfectly in tune with God to every detail. And so we can all grow in this area. You know, by nature, we are ethnocentric. We are self-centric, and we are ethno. Just by nature, that's just our default. And we all got some growing to do, overcoming this fallen nature with the image of God on the inside of those who are born again. Or the image of God on the inside of, quite frankly, every human being. We all got growth to do. And then number four, we've been on a series about joy, and we are workers with you for your joy. joy is zapped when hatred and all kinds of negative emotions fill the heart. So we're concerned about all those things, and so because of that, under conviction, opted to present this this teaching today. Maybe we'll talk about it next week. Maybe we won't. We might be talking about hurricanes next week. I don't know. Well, anyway, we're in it. It's an interesting journey. All right. So, a guide for ministry during medical pandemics, which is COVID-19 and other things, social pandemics, which is this racial unrest going on right now, and here's the big one: spiritual pandemics. What's the big pandemic? Yeah, a fallen nature, you know, sin, you know, welcome to, you know, and I'm a carrier, okay? I mean, that's our worst pandemic, and they tie together. So we're going to go through this, and I'm going to, just due to time, I don't want this to be like a long series. I'm opting out of talking about statistics because it just gets, no matter where you go, where you get your stats from, it gets argumentative, and I just, all I'm going to do basically is just talk about perceptions. And I know I'm going to hear it from you all. Well, you know, you ought to see the stats on this, and the stats on that, and the stats on this, and that doesn't, you know, look, we're dealing with perceptions with people. I'm going to kind of keep it, for the most part, at that level. You know, for black folks, racism, injustice is systemic. It's universal. It affects every area of their lives. For whites, it's like, it's only a few racists left in America, man. Just, you know, just marginalize them and let's all go on. Let's get over it. Let's move on. It's no big deal. And then for the other minorities, it's just varied opinions. I lived in Miami for years, and I did a lot of dialoguing about this, and it's all over the spectrum. And so those are perceptions, and those are realities for people living those perceptions. The spiritual reality is we're all a mess, and we all have a sin nature, and we all can learn from the Word of God. So let's dig in. Part 1, Romans chapter 12, verse 1, a passage we've gone over in, I think, pretty great detail. If you want more information, go online whenever we went through the book of Romans. It wasn't a long time ago, but we didn't go through it applying it directly to racial tension and racial reconciliation and the like. So that's the lens with which we're going to read and study this portion of God's Word. All right? So Romans and chapter 12 and verse 2. One other note. The background on the book of Romans, remember, it matters. It matters a lot. Did Paul know, the writer of this book, under the Spirit of God, did Paul know anything about racial injustice and inequality? Hello. Totally. Okay. You know, he saw injustice, one, because he was Jewish, two, because he was a believer and would open his mouth and witness to people. Okay. He went through a lot of injustice, more than probably anybody else in America. All right. You can look at his resume in 2 Corinthians, which was written before this, chapter 11 and 12. All right? So, yeah. So he's not going, well, that's just some guy in an ivory tower, you know, that's pontificating and just, you know, he doesn't have a clue. No, he gets it, okay? So it's written with a authoritarian government, a maniacal dictatorship, and no legal recourse regarding anything for the most part. He had a little bit of help with that, but, you know, I mean, he knew a lot about injustice, all right? And the people he was writing to, most of them had no legal recourse for anything. He had a little bit because he was also a Roman citizen. So Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Here's number one. This is the guide, and we may only do number one today. Probably we're only going to do number one today. All right? Verse 2. Do not be conformed to this world. What that means is do not let your favorite newscasters, politicians, political parties, or whatever pundits are out there be your source of theology. Everybody good with that? Okay? Both sides, all sides, liberal, conservative, and people in between. Everybody at the right time claims to be followers of Jesus, right? Claims to quote the Bible. If it's helpful, they'll quote the Bible, okay? So their theology, and I'm talking about across the board, and most of the pastors and theologians, quote, that they have on their shows, the theology isn't very good. Can I share that with you, okay? If that's all you're listening to and you pick your Bible up on Sunday, you're going to be just horribly misled, all right? So I want to take us to Scripture today to look at biblical theology. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's number one. Number one thing, what do you do in a social pandemic? Be transformed. Everybody go with that? Okay? It's a teachable time to think. And one of the good things coming out of this is everybody, for the most part, is talking about the same thing. Let us guide our minds and the minds of others into what is biblical, the biblical perspective on this, okay? So if we're believers in Christ, our minds need to be transformed by the truth of the Word of God, that we are able to discern or prove what is the will of God. That's what we all want to do. What is the will of God today? You can't know that unless the mind is being transformed. God wants us to think. He wants us to pray. He wants us to get counsel. But he wants us to think through the Word of God to find the will of God. What will? That which is good, that which is acceptable, that which is perfect. Okay, so our minds need to be transformed by the Word of God, and I could say transformed and retransformed and retransformed because we forget. All right, I can tell you my testimony. Just growing up, grew up on Anna Marie Island right here, and I would say there was basically zero racial tension here because it was white people. Okay, we had one black girl, Tina Tillis, star academics, just students, top of the pile, and best athlete in the school, okay? Probably best brain in the school, probably best athlete in the school, okay? And she was, we thought of her as like really white. You know, and that's just the prejudice at the time. And that's what we had in the elementary school. I mean, that's, you know, and so grew up, didn't think anything of racism. Then we get bused to Bradenton, And all of a sudden, what happened to the world? You know, there was all kinds of racial unrest and hatred, and you get, you know, punched and kneed and stabbed and whatever in the hallways, and it was like, you know, from a different racial group, and you're like, you know, so what happened was, I'm a lost guy, you know, so hate does what? It incites or entices hate. So me, like everybody else, falls into, all of a sudden now, I have some racial opinions now, okay? I can tell you school systems are, I think, way better today than they were back. If you're younger, you're here. I'm about 200 years old, and that was like forever ago, okay? Things have gotten like way better, at least from a white guy's perspective. I think from a black perspective, too, if they're honest, all right? And then I become a Christian, and I had to deal with it. And how is it dealt with? Through the Word of God and passages like this. So let me lay some of these things on you, okay? Going to go kind of quick. I'm not going to go through all the passages you have in your guide. You got a guide. Look at them, research them, read them in context on your own. But just due to time and not wanting to make this a seminary class, just want to kind of skim through the big ideas and a few passages on these huge points of, we're going to call it anthropology. That's the study of mankind. God made people, and His Word speaks a lot about people. We need to think of other people and ourselves the way God does, and that's why we're going through these passages. All right? So Job, first of all, A is, point number one is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That's point number one. A under that is, you know, here's some transforming or renewing truth for you. Point A, God created every person and every race. That's just huge to understand, you know, that's a creation of God. And God didn't distinguish. He made colors in a beautiful thing. Talk about that in a little bit. But He made every race. And Job 31, verse 15, Job himself is trying to kind of work, you know, figure out this whole thing. And here's the reasoning of Job. This is probably the first book in the Bible. Did not He who made me in the womb make this other guy? He was like really different than me. And the same one fashioned us each in the womb. That's pretty straightforward. God made that other guy who's like really different. God made me. And that thinking matters. Psalm 100, God made all of us. Psalm 127, verse 3, all children are a gift from the Lord. Psalm 135, everybody is fearfully and wonderfully made. Isaiah 64, 8, all of us are the work of the hand of God. All right, et cetera, et cetera. All right, and the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, our forefathers, what did they think? We hold these truths to be, you don't even need the Bible for this, self-evident. In other words, like everybody knows this. Everybody with a brain knows all men are, what's that word? Created equal by a creator. And they are endowed by their creator. Everybody knows there's a creator. Everybody knows all men are created equal with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, justice, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, we got that way wrong, obviously, during the days of slavery. How do we do that? We said that black people are not, they're subhuman in some way. They don't fit the category of every person, okay? All men, they're something less than that. That's how we justified slavery. How are we justifying the killing of babies today? The thinking is convoluted and weird, but welcome to sin. Babies are somehow subhuman until such a date as we choose to put on their life. I can't explain that. But it's as ugly and horrible and even, you know, worse than slavery, because now we're talking about the death. Of course, in slavery, we killed many people as well. So we've gotten it wrong, but that's what we believed, and I think we still do. Verse number 2b, every person and race is created in the image of God. This is the big one, okay? God made people in His image. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, when we see people on the streets, even people that are throwing bricks through windows and throwing bricks at cops and all of the, you know, beating up each other, those are people that are made in the image of God. They've let their fallen nature and the mob mentality, whatever, just wreak havoc in their souls. But they're valuable people. The guy with the brick in his hand is a valuable person made in the image of God, in the likeness of God. I'm in Genesis 1, verse 26. And they are to lead in a right way, the rest of that passage says. Verse 27, they are made in the own image of God. The image of God, in the image of God, he created them male and female, so there cannot be any kind of sexual distinguishing when it comes to justice and fair treatment. Male and female, God created them. Pretty straightforward. They bear the image of God. Males do, females do, all races do. Genesis 5, same thing is being spoken here. Male and female, all made in the image of God. Genesis 9, the reason for capital punishment is because of the value of every human life. Because people, why are lives valuable? They're made in the image of God. That's the reason for capital punishment. And then, and that's not, that's a right and a good thing. Life is that valuable. We know the value of something by the penalty of breaking, harming that thing, whatever that thing is. Property is less valuable and has a lesser penalty than human life. Human life is a horrible thing to harm and certainly to kill, and it's so horrible, it means the death penalty. And then James chapter 3, verse 9, we cannot even with our words curse people because they're made, or speak bad to people because they're made in the likeness of God. It governs our tongues. Jesus in Matthew 5 says, don't call anybody a fool, don't despise anybody, don't look down on anybody. If you do that, you're guilty enough, it's heinous enough for you to go into a fiery hell. It's a big deal. And so we've got to be very, very, very careful. I think we can say an idea is stupid or evil, but we can't say that of people, all right? See, every person and race is created from Adam. You know, we are ultimately one race with one grandfather. That's just who we are. That's what Paul says to the philosophers and others in Athens. In Acts 17, verse 26, God made from one guy, one gal, every nation, and the word nation is ethne, every ethnic group. And I wish we would do better with the translation. We'd be more attuned to the language, cultural groups, the racial groups in the Bible. Nation is misleading. It's every ethnic group of mankind. God made from one guy all of the various ethnic groups and appointed the times and the boundaries of their habitation. It's all from God. God created everybody in his image from one guy. D, every person and race is loved by God and to be reached with the gospel. Because God loves them, God wants us to reach them with the gospel. And so we got, Jesus himself coming out of heaven, and his culture in heaven was a little bit different than our culture on earth. And yet, what did he do? He came to serve our culture, which is a little different. Could you imagine? Talking about culture shock. So that's the heart, that's the example of God himself. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whoever believes in him won't perish but will have eternal life. God so loved the world, everybody in the world, every group in the world. We need to so love the world. Genesis chapter 12, you don't have that. Again, doing this real fast, there's just so many passages in my mind, I can't put them all down. But Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, is just a huge passage on this. God's talking, God called a guy named Abraham to be the inception of the Jewish race, to be a people, to show what God can do inside of any people group. So as God's calling Abraham, God includes these words to him. In you, all the nations, all the ethne, all the language, cultural groups, all the colors of the earth will be blessed in you. What is that blessing? Paul takes that in Galatians chapter 3 and says that's the blessing of salvation. He's really, really plain about that. Read Galatians 3. All right? So God's plan from the inception was to reach all of the language cultural groups, all the different color groups with the gospel. Galatians chapter 3, playing off of Genesis chapter 12. You have in your hand, I think, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, our marching orders are having God make disciples, students for Jesus, of all the ethne, all the language cultural groups, all the colors, all the races, make disciples of all of them. That needs to govern our actions. What does it take to reach other groups globally and locally for Christ? That's our marching orders today. Reach all of them. Baptize them, that means they're being submerged into the family. It's a picture of them being submerged into your family, into the family of God, and be teaching them everything I have commanded you. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, not in your handout. God's word to the early church. You say, how did the early church do with this? Man, they had they went into this deal with a lot of racism. I mean, there was that was a huge problem in the early church. See, we don't pick it up because we don't care. We read the book of Acts, and it just and even the Gospels, it just goes, the whole thing of racism just goes completely over. We don't even see it, because we're like, that's past, for us, it's like, it's not a felt need. It's just, it's past history. I mean, it's there's a few people out there that are racist, you know, but, you know, there's always going to be, like, you know, but this is done. This is ancient history. Not for your black brother and sister, it's not. Talk to them. Very real today in their perception, okay? So it's a big deal to them, and we need to understand that it takes time. Just Book of Acts. But it was interesting, when Jesus would use a hero, commonly it was a person from another race. We completely miss that. When Jesus elevated a hero, someone to be an example, commonly it was a person from another race. And commonly, when you talk about Jewish people, there was a lot of warning because they were responsible for a lot and trusted with a lot. Anyway, just the next time you're reading the gospel, just check that out. Book of Acts, that's what happened. Jesus goes back into heaven. He leaves the believers there. Man, they are pure as the driven snow with their hearts are. I mean, they're perfect in every way, and they just love all the other races and all like that, right? Huge issue. Now, they're legitimate followers of Christ. You got to hear that. They are legitimate followers of Jesus Christ. They're born again. But man, did they wrestle with this thing. So they started out as a bunch of Jewish folks who came from all kinds of other countries, but they were predominantly Jewish, or at least God-fearing Gentiles that meshed into the Jewish culture. And that's how they started out. Then Acts, and they're told in chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus says before he goes up into heaven, you are to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, okay, Judea, all right, got it, Samaria, what? It's half-breeds, and the remotest part of the earth. That's crazy. But that's back to the book of Genesis chapter 12. All the ethne are to be blessed in the seed of Abraham, the Messiah. And so that's their marching orders, and they neglected it early on. A little bit of difficulty, Acts chapter 6, with Hellenistic-styled widows. That would be Roman culture widows that were in their midst. And then in chapter 8, there was a move by God to guide them to reach the half-breed, half-Jew, half-whatever other nation they breeded with, which were a complete taboo, but somehow God got them to do that, and God gave them the Holy Spirit just as he gave the Jewish people earlier, saying, I accept them, you got to accept them also. And then in chapter 10, he calls a guy named Peter, gives him a Sonny's commercial, and then calls him to meet with a person from a complete different race. And Peter says, you know, God, before he got there, God has shown me that God is no respecter of persons, that God wants everybody reached with the gospel. But that took time. Peter, by the way, later on, and he shares the gospel with them, and God accepts them and gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit in a visible way. And then and they wrestle with stuff in Acts chapter 15. You can read about that. It's a big deal about the all the races changing the culture of the church and wrestling with that whole thing. And that was all about racism. And then later on in the book of Galatians, And chapter 2, Paul's talking about the gospel, and Peter comes riding into town, and he's eating. Yeah, this is well after Jesus went back into heaven. Peter is, enjoying the Sonny's pork sandwiches and whatever, bacon for breakfast, and eating with everybody, and everybody's all mixing together. It's all good. Bacon. Yeah. So everything's good, and all of a sudden, some of the boys from Jerusalem who are a little more prejudiced, they come into town, Jewish boys, and Peter begins to withdraw himself from other ethnic groups. He's been a Christian for a long time, and he already went through the Acts 10 experience of knowing that God accepts everybody, and any other position is just completely unbiblical, and he still acquiesces. Because he's like you. Because he's like me. We're all tempted with this. And Paul says I had to straighten him out. Because what he was doing was completely antithetical to the gospel. What's the gospel? Everybody is united in Christ. Everybody who trusts Christ is in Christ. That's our new great identity. And so prior to that, your identity is whatever you want it to be. You know, you're a jock, you're a geek, you're an African, you're Canadian, whatever. But when you trust Christ, your new great identity is you are in Christ. And that's the gospel. That's the mystery of the gospel. Read Ephesians chapter 3. And therefore, anybody to divide with a believer from another ethnic group in any way, shape, or form is mocking and is completely attacking and defiling the gospel. It's unity with God, but it's also unity with every other believer. And so I have way more in common with a African believer than I do with a next-door neighbor that doesn't trust Christ. Way more in common. Because his identity, my identity, we're both in Christ. And you better believe the folks who have been adversely affected in numerous ways by the riots and by just other stuff in society, those are our brothers and sisters. And if it's a big deal to them, and again, I'm not talking about stats, but if it's a big deal to them, then it needs to be a big deal to me too. Does that make sense? Okay? Weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. All right, well, I'm not even close to my notes right now. Where are we at here? D, we got to reach everybody with the gospel. Okay, the gospel is here for everybody, and we got to reach every ethnic group, globally, locally. E, believers from all races will be in heaven. We got to grab hold of this. I hear people say, and I get it. I'm not going to give you a hard time for this. I'm not making a rule about this. And if you say you're colorblind, I understand what you're saying. And I think the judicial system needs to truly do what they can to be colorblind. I get that, okay? But I don't personally say that. Because I'm not in the judicial system, I'm in the relational system. I'm in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm a guy who's headed for heaven, and you can read about heaven in the book of Revelation chapter 21 and 22, the new heavens and the new earth, and the incredible glory filled with color. So now I want you to check this out now. God made every person, and God made every culture and color. So I think it's wise to say, I enjoy color. That's the reason we're made different. For enjoyment right now and enjoyment eternally. We're equal. We all bear the image of God equally, but we can enjoy color, and you know you see color, and I see color, and it's a good thing. Enjoy it. Learn. You know how much we have to learn from other cultures if we will truly listen to brothers and sisters and truly dialogue? I mean, I'm talking about really, really listen.
Listen to the place where they can go a little deeper than they thought they could go with us. Because they're not going to go very deep, you know, when I say they, people from other cultures, not just black, but other cultures, you know, that have gone through perceived difficulties or real difficulties, because they don't want to freak us out. But when we listen, and then tell me more, tell me more, tell me more, tell me more, just keep listening through the course of time. If you're blessed to have those relationships, keep listening. Because there's something to be learned from even oppression, whether it's real, perceived, or both. And people perceive it, and we will do really well to listen, and we will do really well to enjoy color and not try to not see color, because you're gonna see it, and God wants you to see it because He created it. Everybody good? All right? And that's heaven. And so Revelation chapter 5, verse 19, they sang a new song saying, now where's this taking place? This is taking place in heaven. Very plain. Revelation chapter 4, chapter 5 are taking place in heaven. Read the context. Worthy, and so there's a song going on. They're having a celebration, and I'm sure it's got to be in what we would call contemporary Christian white music. Right? Right, hello, right? Right? Or if you're older, these are now, you know, now that's, God's got His way. That stuff's gone now. These are the old style hymns for the West, right? You know that, right? Okay. God straightened us out by this time. Or wherever, I don't know what it is, but somehow we're appreciating rhythms and melodies and scales way beyond our pitiful, you know, whatever, how many octaves we can hear in today. This is way, it somehow they're all joined together and they're saying, singing, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seal, for, Lord Jesus, you were slain and you purchased for God with your blood, with your life, men from every tribe, every tongue, every language, every people group, every ethne, language, culture, group. I mean, He can't be more plain. Every color, every language, everybody is purchased by what Jesus did for us on the cross. All the nations will be blessed in you. And that, we need to celebrate that. And they are there. And we will be there for trusting Christ with them one day. And welcome to heaven. It's a place of incredible color in a lot of different ways, including, I believe, skin. Revelation 7, verse 9, we have a similar passage. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, no, is way beyond what anybody could count, from every, notice the word every nation, or ethne, and tribe, and people, and language, standing before the Lamb, and they are worshiping Him. F in our outline. Believers from all races are one in Christ. I don't have time to take us through Ephesians 2 and 3 and the beginning of chapter 4. Chapter 4, we study chapter 4 without understanding chapters 2 and 3 typically. Now we get Ephesians chapter 2 verses 1 through 10. That's the basic gospel message, you know, by grace you're saved through faith. It's not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, so that nobody can boast. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And we don't have a clue as to what the next verse is. None of us here, I'll bet you. Not a person here. Probably a lot of you could just, you know, man, we just rattle that off. We don't have a clue as to what the next verse is. Or the rest of that chapter, or the entirety of the next chapter. And then we hit chapter 4, therefore, do everything in your power to pursue unity together. And we think, well, that's with my other, in my local church, with my other white friends. Well, that's part of it, but that's not the picture that's painted in context in the book of Ephesians. What's painted in context of the book of Ephesians, and I don't have time to take us through it. I really encourage you to slowly read through this passage phrase by phrase and really take it in. Here's the gospel. God created us to be one, or recreated us to be one in Christ. When you're joined to Christ and another person's joined from Christ from Timbuktu and they're green and you're blue and another guy's red and another guy's, you know, yellow. I mean, whatever. We're one in Christ. That's our new identity. God took the two, Jews and all the other races, and made them one in Christ. That's the message of the gospel. And I dare say probably none of us would include that in the gospel. It's just, you know, gospel is, I get saved from my sin. I'm on my way to heaven. Well, in the book of Ephesians, the gospel is, you get saved from your sin. You're on your way to heaven, but now you are united to this incredible, colorful family. And don't you dare do anything that would in any way divide you from the rest of your colorful family. You do everything it takes to unite you to the rest of your colorful family through the rest of this age. That's the gospel. And we just, it's not on our writer's screen at all. So that's, just say I've covered Ephesians chapter 2 and 3. But seriously, read that in your own time. Oh, this, I can tell you, when I sat down, I mean, all these passages that I'm going, have I done them justice as I've taught through some of these things in the past? There's just so much about racial harmony in the church and outside the church in the book of, in the Bible, in the New Testament. Let me bring this thing in for a landing. I want to make sure I didn't miss a point. That was F, right? And G is our last point. Going to do it. All right? Listen now. If you all listen fast, we're going to do this thing. G, regardless of all of that, every person and race, and we're going to spend some time, not today, talking about, so what can we do in a practical sense beyond just the obvious of having dialogue with believers and others outside our circle of friends right here in this church. So we'll get to that stuff sometime later on. G, every person and race is to be honored. Why? Because every person bears the image of God. Again, the guy with the brick, the guy dropping off the bricks, how does that even happen? You know, the guy buying the bricks, you know what I'm talking about? You know, pallets of bricks, you know, on the road. It's every person involved in the whole scene, and I don't care if they're completely an anarchist and they want to overthrow America for whatever reason, every person bears the image of God and is to be honored, and their race is to be honored. A couple passages real fast, we're going to pray. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, honor all men. You know what that means in Greek? Yeah, there it is. Okay, you're Greek scholars already. Okay, that's like everybody. Okay, and honor the king. We honor every person. We honor the king. Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, by the way, is I almost use it as the manual. I mean, it's just a great passage on it. There's so many passages to go to. Titus 3, 1 and following. Be subject to rulers, to authorities. Be obedient to them. You know, we want to be good citizens of even regimes that are horrific, like under Rome in this time when that was written. Malign nobody, verse 2. Be uncontentious. Don't be arguing with people. It doesn't go anywhere. Be gentle with others. May verse 2 guide our conversation. Malign nobody. Be uncontentious. I keep working on that. Be gentle. Show every consideration for everybody, all men. That's all the ethnic groups and people from them. James chapter 2, verse 1. James getting really heavy here. Absolutely do not have favoritism, which part of that is racism and any other injustice towards any other economic group, whatever it may be. Don't even begin to have that named among you. Repent of that. It's a horrible, read the rest of chapter 2, a horrific sin in the eyes of God. Let me close with the Good Samaritan. Oh, I know the story of the Good Samaritan. That's about us helping each other, right? We're supposed to help each other. We know that story. Let's close with something we all know. What was the Good Samaritan about? It was about helping each other. And if you're fixing to have the kids' lesson later today, and you're going to use a Good Samaritan to say we need to help each other and look for needs, it's fine. But what's Jesus saying? And again, who, like normal, is the example in the story? A half-breed. And it was part Jew and part who knows what color and what color came out. I mean, who knows? Okay? It's in the storybooks, he's a white guy. But we don't know, okay? We got to know that. So this attorney dude, you know, asked Jesus, okay, I'm supposed to love everybody, love your neighbors yourself, I'm supposed to love everybody. By the way, Jesus, who's my neighbor? People on Annabry Island? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells the story, and you know the story, and then Jesus closes the story with what? You ask, who's my neighbor? That's not the question, Jesus is saying. Jesus closes it with a question, who proved to be a neighbor? And well, it's not who's my neighbor. It's are you a neighbor? That's the point of the story. Not just are you a neighbor to a person of another color? If you want to really look at the story. Let's pray together. We give you thanks, Lord Jesus, for great grace today. And thank you so much for the privilege to be able to talk through some biblical basics on mankind and your design. And Father, you know, in my fallen nature and in our fallen nature, boy, I mean, we just so easily succumb to assuming the worst. Animosity, hate, distrust, over and over again, assuming the worst, putting others down, putting ourselves above them, putting our race above. It is pandemic in our fallen nature. And you know, if we live guarded lives, it's not a big deal. But boy, when we're in tight quarters with other races, it begins to surface. And Father, that's a fallen nature. Father, we pray that you continue to grow us in such a way that we would identify any tendency toward ethnocentrism and racism, and we'd call it what it is and see it for the evil that it is in your eyes, that we would look forward to being with brothers and sisters of all colors for all of eternity in close proximity and intimacy. And that you'd guide us in that kind of life now, that it's uncomfortable, it's awkward, but it's right. And so guide us, Father, we pray. Have your way in us, have your way through us. And we pray for the church to grow, to truly represent the community ethnically, for color, to represent heaven. May that be a great gift of revival in the church. And Father, we pray that you would work your perfect work in us, that we might be witnesses here and support global witness to every ethnic group, every color and language under the sun. Thank you for your creation of race. Guide us in our enjoyment of it. Thank you for your plans. Thank you for the gospel and your forgiveness. And ability to change and transform us by the renewing of our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm a minute over. You guys gotta fly out of here like there's a fire, okay? I don't know how many are coming. I weren't that many last time, but still, be respectful. If you can't, is it raining? It's not raining, right? Anyway, side doors are available. I don't see many people out there, though, so whatever you need to do. God bless each one of you. God make you a blessing.